This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers Radio with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I got a whole bunch of that stuff. And Lynn's not with us today. Unfortunately, she's under the weather. So, Lynn, we're all sending all our positive healing energies your way. I hope you feel better. But with me today, I have Debbie Yonas. And Debbie is from Voices of Hope for Aphasia. And we're going to chat a lot about that today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today.
I'm so glad that you're here today. So the first thing I want to do is give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Charlene in Seminole, Sherry in St. Pete, and Martha in New York City. So welcome. Like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen when we're live or to the recordings or on YouTube or whatever, because we just want to give you the resources, the help, and the encouragement. So I'll say right now I'm on a big high because we just finished the three-day Connecting Caregivers Conference. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And it turns out over the 3 days, we had over 2,000 participants.
That's fantastic.
And the most fun part is me sitting there as a speaker is on and watching the chat room and watching people say, thank you. Watching people say, oh, I didn't know that. And one woman sent me an email last night and she said, oh, my goodness, I never had any ideas about these resources. She said, I cried with you, I laughed with you, and I learned with you. She said, and for the first time in the 4 years I've been taking care of my mom, I did not feel alone. So I'm crying, you know. Yeah.
It's impactful. It's important to know you're not alone.
It's very important.
What you do. Yeah.
And if you think you are and you don't know about any of the resources, it has to be terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
And isolating and panic-inducing. Yeah.
Yeah. For you and your loved one. So it was really cool, and we had a lot of really cool stuff there. We'll be doing another conference November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd because it just delights me to be able to get this information out here. And like I was saying yesterday, we had AE Corner every day at lunch, and we had them last conference also. And AE Corner stands for Adaptable Equipment Corner. And these two gals are absolutely fabulous. And each day they brought to the conference like the newest adaptable things for people, for their loved ones, on helping them get dressed by themselves, you know, on lights and everything. And the second day when we came on, they come on the screen and juggling apples. And I go, what are you doing? And they go, we're doing what a caregiver does every day. It's a very good analogy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're in the chat room, they're like, ha, yes. You know? So that was really good. So let's talk about Voices of Hope for Aphasia. You were on the show a couple of years ago, and I know that because when I looked for your headshot, it was on my old computer.
The same one, or should we pretend like I've got an updated one?
Let's go ahead. So aphasia is a hot topic right now.
It sure is.
I'm sorry for that Bruce Willis has aphasia.
Yes.
I'm very proud that he stands up and that he's being verbal about it, because when celebrities are verbal about this kind of stuff, it helps.
Exactly. It's a brave thing to do, but it's also an important thing to do, and we all feel for him and for his family the tragedy and the as you know,
the
scary,
magnitude of
the magnitude of the whole thing. He and his family are helping so many people by being vocal about it. And so we're grateful because there are so many people out there, like you said, that they don't know that there's resources available.
Right.
They don't even know the word aphasia.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What is aphasia? Because like I said to you earlier, I'll be doing a support group and somebody will say something about aphasia and all of a sudden somebody else in the group goes, what's aphasia?
Yeah. So aphasia is the name for a language disorder that happens most often after stroke. Somewhere between 30 and 40% of strokes can result in aphasia. So we all know, oh yeah, my uncle had trouble talking after he had a stroke, or oh my goodness, my grandfather had trouble talking. Is that aphasia? Yeah. So unfortunately, it's very, very common, but few people know what it is. But there's also different types. So there's sort of the sudden onset type of aphasia that comes from stroke or a car accident or a brain injury or a brain tumor or surgery on the brain that, you know, one day you're using language perfectly well and then something happens and now it's disrupted. There's also other types of aphasia that happen slowly, and they're a type of progressive disorder, a degenerative disorder that sort of slowly starts to take away your ability to access language like you did before. Right. And when we talk about language, we talk about it in four different ways. We talk about speaking, which is the most obvious.
Right.
But it also impacts understanding what other people are saying and your ability to read and write.
So does it disrupt your hearing, or it's your understanding?
Right. It doesn't impact hearing at all. It's sort of
you can hear, but what, is it like garbled, or do you know? Like, do people tell you how, what does it sound like?
The best way that I can describe it is Linda, did you learn a language in school, elementary school? What did you learn?
Buongiorno. Come sta?
Okay. So how much Italian do you speak now?
Not hardly any.
If I dropped you in the middle of a tiny village in Italy where no one spoke English, how would you fare?
Not well.
Yeah. Would you understand what people are saying?
No, not at all.
That's what it feels like. But are you any less intelligent than a couple minutes ago?
No.
You just don't have access to your language system, which is what happens after a stroke with aphasia or any of those other conditions. You don't have access to language. Now, aphasia happens in many different ways. No two people with aphasia look the same. So for some people, comprehension, their ability to understand spoken language, remains fairly intact.
Okay.
But they struggle mightily to find the words.
Yeah, my dad had aphasia. I didn't know it was aphasia. We didn't have a name for it then. My dad had a stroke, and it was debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling was like, God, my dad's like me. Talk, 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 talk. And you took away his voice.
Yeah.
Like, it took, and it was really difficult, but at one point what my dad did is because he likes to talk to people, and my dad loved to tell jokes, but my dad was in the printing business, so he had all his jokes printed on business cards. So he could hand them to people, and at least they could laugh. And,
yeah.
And many times, someone that maybe was in the same condition as him, but could read the card and have a laugh.
Yeah, and they're connecting.
Yeah.
And I always say, communication isn't just speech. We communicate in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And if one's taken away from you, then you can adapt to use other ones. For people with stroke or aphasia due to stroke or one of those sudden onset, you can continue to get better. You can continue to progress and regain some of your speech.
Do you take speech therapy, or what? How do we do that?
Yeah. So the most common and a very important component is traditional speech therapy. So getting as much speech therapy in rehab, in outpatient, as much speech therapy as you can get is, of course, critical. In my opinion, equally as critical, and in a lot of ways more holistic,
yes,
is to participate in life.
Right.
To
be engaged.
Exactly. And with language, just like your Italian, if you don't use it, you will lose it.
Yeah.
So if you don't use your speech in normal, natural ways that you want to communicate in, jokes on a business card, then it will slip away.
Yeah.
And that's, if I may now transition to Voices of Hope for Aphasia, that's why we were established. Our founders, Mike Caputo, had a stroke and realized, oh my gosh, speech therapy is about to end. What do I do now? What's happening to all the people that are sitting at home with no speech therapy?
Right.
So
or don't know that speech therapy could help.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hopefully they're getting prescribed speech therapy. Not everybody does. Not everybody has access to insurance that will cover speech therapy.
Right.
Which is even more
crazy.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a politically correct word.
Crazy.
But
just like the doctors won't pay for your eyeglasses or your teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, like I don't need my eyes or my teeth?
Yeah. No. Apparently you don't need to communicate either.
No.
But he realized without access to speech therapy, or when speech therapy runs out, what happens to a person with aphasia? What happens to the family with aphasia? Well, unfortunately, what happens in the absence of community-based programs or groups at universities or hospitals, is that people with aphasia become very isolated. They lose friends and family because it's difficult to talk to them. Family members or friends feel anxious. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to communicate. Right. And so drift away.
Right. Same thing with dementia.
Same thing with dementia. Exactly. You can't communicate even at a restaurant, perhaps. You order your own food. Run out to Starbucks to order your
mocha frappuccino. Well, then I probably don't want to go out.
And you don't want to go out. And that's what happens.
I'm embarrassed.
Yep. Embarrassment, isolation, frustration.
And I'm hurt.
Depression. Yep. And it's for the person with aphasia and, as you know very well,
yeah, because I'm hurting and caregiver. My caregiver is hurting too.
Yep, exactly. So Voices of Hope for Aphasia, we don't do speech therapy. We provide opportunities for people with aphasia to communicate, to participate in life. We have group activities where people with aphasia can feel comfortable practicing their speech in a supported way with other
people. We're all in the same boat
there. Yeah, everybody's in the same boat. We do outings to go out in the community. Yeah. So we don't just take them from the four walls of their home, sitting on the couch watching TV, right, to the four walls of a therapy room or four walls of a center.
Conference room, whatever.
Yeah. Last month, we went to the brand new Museum of the American Arts and Crafts Movement, which is brilliant.
Wow.
And our docents adapted their speech to be more aphasia-friendly, accessible communication-wise.
So fabulous.
We think about all accessibility options,
wheelchair,
ways for physical accessibility.
Right.
And a lot of our community partners have been open to us going out there and saying, okay, you have a wheelchair ramp. How about a communication ramp?
Yeah.
So that people with aphasia can understand what you're telling them about this beautiful art.
And I'm sure they're open to it.
Oh, incredibly. They were fantastic.
Because when people know there's a way they can help, they'll help if they know.
Absolutely, yeah. And that is an activity that we do with the entire family unit. So it's something that they're sharing together, that they're talking about when they go home, that they've shared with us as a community.
And they're friends now. I'm sure the people in the group are friends now.
That is, to me, the best thing.
Yeah, it's like the people in my support group. We're friends.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and it makes such a difference because you really feel that somebody else understands what you're going through.
Yeah. You don't have to say all the words. People will understand.
Yeah. I had a caregiver luncheon probably about a month ago now. Well, one of my caregivers that lives in Washington happened to be visiting Florida. And one of my caregivers that used to live in Georgia just moved to Florida.
Oh, nice.
And then I have my Florida people. And at the luncheon was like, oh, you're not on the Zoom screen, you know? You look pretty good in person, you know? Oh, I didn't realize you were so tall or short or whatever. So it was really very, very interesting. But it was just such a relief to be with people that understand what you're going through.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we try to do.
So how did you get involved in it?
Well, so I have been lucky to be involved with Voices of Hope from the very beginning. I was actually Mike Caputo's speech therapist, one of his speech therapists.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And Mike and Kathy and their daughters had been planning this. We need to build a nonprofit. We want to provide opportunities. And the speech therapy clinic that Mike was attending, he was coming down to Florida from New Jersey to attend intensive aphasia therapy in St. Pete. And they started the organization with some family support group, monthly support groups for the care partners, for the family members, and for the people with aphasia. And then with the intention of growing the organization, so I started to volunteer my time to run some of the groups for the people with aphasia. And I have been promoted and demoted at every level since
I get
then,
it.
Which is fine. I want to be connected in any way possible. So, So I'm, you know, back to the Bruce Willis thing. In the past, I guess now it's a month since he made the announcement, his family made the announcement. We've been getting multiple phone calls, emails per week, adding new people all the time. And the comments that I get were, I didn't know to look for this. I didn't know this was here. Yeah.
It's the same thing with every caregiver, with any whatever it is. So what kind of resources are available for them?
So,
and when you talk about that intense
Right.
Let's talk about that too.
Yeah. So there's, we talked about speech therapy for people with aphasia.
Right.
Through the regular rehab system and outpatient therapy with insurance, sort of you can get up to 3 sessions per week.
Yeah, for
it, yeah, if you're lucky, 3. If you're lucky, they're at least 45 minutes. But just like learning a language, the best type of speech therapy for people with aphasia is intensive speech therapy. So there is a private practice here in St. Petersburg, the Aphasia Center. There's also, for us in Florida, there's one in Orlando at UCF, and there's one also in Jacksonville at Brooks Rehab Aphasia Center. And this is 5 hours a day, five days a week for some of these programs of just really using your speech.
And what do the results show? Crazy results, right?
Yeah, marked improvement. Now, aphasia is a chronic condition, and this is maybe the difficult thing to hear, that aphasia will be with you for the rest of your life once you have it. But it can continue to improve if you keep practicing.
Yeah.
And so doing something like intensive aphasia therapy and then bringing it into your real life,
right,
and having opportunities to continue to connect and communicate with your family or with your friends, with your new network of friends, like you just said,
right,
is critical. Because if you can learn a language by putting, you know, Babbel software on and listening to it, but if you don't use it naturally, then it won't generalize. It won't become natural again.
You know, I remember when my brother was a kid, when he went to kindergarten, they said they couldn't understand what he was saying. We understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
We didn't realize that he wasn't speaking properly because we understood him. You know what I mean? It was very weird. And I remember I used to take him, my bicycle and his bicycle, and we took our bikes. It was like 2 miles to go to a local college for him to have speech therapy once a week.
Yeah.
But I remember the speech therapist always telling me, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Look in his face and talk to him. Look in his face and talk to him.
Yeah.
So I would always try to, like, have more of that face-on-face kind of communication kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it helped. My brother doesn't shut up now, but
maybe it worked too well.
Yeah. But I you know, I always thought that was so interesting because, like, we could understand him, but nobody else could.
Right. So the speech therapy is important, and using it in a natural way is important. The other part that is important is being educated on what it is. And this is for the person with aphasia, certainly, so that they can feel empowered to know what's happened to
them. Exactly.
And what it means, what's the word, what are the technical terms. If I'm looking at my medical chart and it says a bunch of technical jargon.
Right, what is it?
What does it mean? This is important for us to know.
Yes.
But also for the family members and the caregivers as a whole to understand what is aphasia and what is not aphasia.
Okay.
So what we were talking about before is that aphasia is a loss of language, but not intellect. So people are not...
I'm not stupid.
Dumb.
Right.
Yeah, people with aphasia are not dumb.
And I bet you some people look at them that way.
Exactly. And the family members don't know. Who knows what aphasia is until it happens to you, right?
Right.
So one of the big things that Voices of Hope for Aphasia does is a family education workshop. And it's, you know, 4 hours that you wish you could have had with your doctor, and probably your doctor or your speech therapist at the hospital wish that they could have had with you, but sitting in many cases with me or my staff for 4 hours and just talking about what aphasia is. And the family member saying, oh my gosh, but he does this, or what does it mean when she does this? How do I help him when he does this? Do I talk for him if I know what he wants to say, or do I not?
Okay, what's the answer to that question?
So what is the answer to that? The answer is it depends on what that person wants. They're an adult, they can tell you. So to say...
Let you know they need help.
Yeah, and to ask, do you want me to help you?
Yeah, because I hate when people talk for other people. I mean, there are some people, their speech is totally fine, and you'll ask the husband something, and the wife answers the question every time.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
gosh.
What, can this guy speak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in my normal life, anybody will tell you, I hate that.
Yeah.
Well, let me finish my sentence.
Yeah.
So for me, I would want to finish my sentence, but each person is different, and each person probably wants to give it a go, so don't interrupt me, but at some point, maybe I do need your help.
Right, I don't want to be frustrated.
Yeah.
So is a way, do you teach them a way like to cue their person that they need help? Like, do I touch your leg when I need you to talk from, I don't know, I'm asking.
And I don't know the answer because I can't answer that for each individual. So the best way is to ask, how do you want me to help you?
Loved one, do you want to look at me? Do you want to snap your finger or something that other people don't have to know what's going on?
Right. Or if the person with aphasia wants to take control of the situation, I often say, I know it's a little bit rude, but if you want more time, just, I'm working on it. Like, raise your hand and say, I'm just working on it. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I got to get it in that file cabinet somewhere.
Yep, yeah. That's the biggest thing for people with aphasia is to have patience.
Yeah.
It takes a really long time to formulate an idea into speech. And actually, it doesn't take any time at all. But it takes a lot of effort. Yeah,
right.
It takes a lot of effort. And so if there is damage to any of those pathways, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. So an interruption can break down all of that work that they've done.
What about music?
So music is extraordinarily powerful. And music is stored in a different part of our brain than where language is. So for a lot of people with aphasia, which is normally, for a large percentage of people, stored on the left side of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So language is stored on the left side, but also our motor movements for our right side of the brain, of our body, is stored in the left side. But in the music and lyrics to songs are stored, we think, on the right side. So it's an area that has not been damaged by the stroke. And so you can see people with aphasia who can't say a sentence, can sing happy birthday or whatever it is that they know.
Yeah, because one of my caregivers said to me, my husband can't speak words, but he can sing words, or when a song is on, he gets it.
Yeah, it's stored in a different part of our brain. It's an automatic recall. It's connected with music.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I know the lyrics to American Pie.
Oh, easy.
You're right.
Easy. So let's talk about this show that you were in recently that I came to see, Breadcrumbs, that I have to tell you how much I loved it, how much I truly loved it. It was great acting. It was raw truth. It was raw truth, and I think that's really important. And it was great that we had a conversation after the show.
Yes,
so let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so this is where my two worlds collide. I'm an actor as well, and I do a lot of plays around the Tampa Bay area. And a group of us found this script, a two-person show for my dear friend Roxanne Fay.
Yes.
And my boyfriend Alan Mone Jr. was our director. He's a brilliant director. And the show was about dementia and a person who was slowly losing her words as the dementia set in. So it was a crossing of the worlds. Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit more. First, we have to hear from our partners, and then we're going to hear from Susan Jacobs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Linda. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. Do we have Christine also on the line?
Yes,
we do. Hi, girls. How are you today?
We're doing great.
So let's
talk.
Everybody says hi.
Hi.
first of all, Susan, can you tell us a little bit about Wheels of Success, what it is, and what is going on now?
Okay, so we're going into our 20th year.
Yes.
And we are a nonprofit that takes donated vehicles, refurbishes them, and they go back out to people who need a car to get to work. And we also do car repairs, so if your vehicle's worth fixing, rather than us trading you into one of ours, we do that as well. And then any help with tag, title, insurance, anything that's car-related that's keeping you from getting to work.
And that changes someone's life. That can change someone's life, just having that vehicle.
Yes.
And so how many cars have you given out so far?
We've done over 1,100 vehicles.
Yes.
And other 1,000 services. So repairs and others. So we've done over 2,000 families.
That's so fabulous. Yeah. That's so fabulous.
So been life-changing, and we have specific programs for veterans, for kids aging out of foster care, for domestic violence survivors, and what we're talking about today for caregivers and essential workers.
Now, do you give them any education on how to take care of a car?
Absolutely. In order to even qualify for our program, once we consider you, if you're eligible, you have to take a car care class with us that's not teaching you how to become a mechanic, but how to look for certain things so that you don't end up with major repairs that could have been minor.
Right.
If you've known what to look for.
Right. And so how did you get involved with this, Christine?
Well, I blame you.
Oh.
Way back when we worked together, you introduced me to Susan, and we did a kind of caregiver contest and submitted one of our employees to get a car. And I was so moved by this nonprofit that I told myself the car that I had just gotten to do the job I was doing at the company with you, that someday I wanted to be able to pass that car on through this program.
And here we go.
So now that's what we're doing.
And it all comes around full circle, isn't it?
Yes, which is awesome. So, and we actually the car was supposed to have been presented at the play that really talks about all this through Sages, her program nonprofit that she runs now. And there was an issue with getting it out. So we don't have somebody in the pipeline right now ourselves. As a caregiver that qualifies, because all of the caregivers we're working with right now need car repairs to a car. So her car is terrific. We fixed anything that needed to be fixed. We even gave it a new paint job. And
yeah, it looks great.
It's ready. Yeah, it's ready to go out. It's a 2013. But I just want people to be aware that this isn't a contest. We're not running a contest.
Right.
This is where you would have to qualify just like any of our other folks through our program, which is very specific because you can't self-apply. You have to be referred either by your employer or by a social service agency through our website.
Okay.
So, we don't take phone calls. We're only a two-person staff.
I hear you. So what is your website?
So our website is wheelsofsuccess.org. Again, it's wheelsofsuccess.org, And at the top, you'll see a button that says, I need help. Okay. When you click on that button, the applications will pop up, whether it's by your employer or by a social service agency, and they would fill that out with you because they're going to need to know the answers to certain questions right. they might not know, and it'll come directly to us once they actually do that. And then we'll be able to look at it because we have to do our due diligence. We have to put your driver's license, make sure it's valid, make sure you don't have any DUIs, all right, on your record. Okay, you would be surprised at how many people apply that don't even have a valid driver's license.
Oh, my goodness.
That they'll get one if they get a car.
So we
vet everybody pretty carefully.
I just want to say I saw the car when Susan brought it to our last performance of Dealmaker, which is our play with purpose that talks about give up the keys and wanted to float out the idea of donating a car. The car's 10 years old almost, but I would still be driving it if I wasn't working for Sages and needed more storage.
There you go.
Good shape.
Right? And your car is my twin car.
Better. Yeah.
We have the same car, same year, same color.
That's right. So I really do hope it goes to someone that can use it to continue doing the jobs that we rely on so many people to do to take care of others.
All right. So while you're here, let's give a little push for Sages and what's going on with them.
Oh, good. Because I wanted to tell Debbie. We have auditions on the 15th and 16th. So would love your acting abilities to come on out.
Excellent.
So our next play is Phony Baloney, which is about scams. Mm-hmm. And all of the Sages programs are meant to educate on a 50 issue for older adults, but also entertain and empower them to take control and make the choices they need to stay safe and healthy.
And so much of it is just opening that conversation. And that's what those shows do. They open that conversation because I've been to those shows and all of a sudden you see a woman sitting in the audience next to her friend poking her. Yep, that's me.
Or
all of a sudden you hear conversations. So, Mom, do you understand why I want you to get rid of those throw rugs? Or whatever the thing is.
So,
that's really fabulous. Anything else you ladies need to tell us?
If folks want to go to Sages, I just wanted them to check out the website.
Okay.
It's the Sages Theater, SagesTheater.org.
And all the shows are free to the public.
Yes, all the shows are free. And then definitely please talk to your loved ones about donating a car to Wheels of Success. It's a tremendous program, and I'm proud to be part of it this time.
Very cool.
And I am so excited, and I actually got to see the play, which was beyond my expectation, really. It was funny. It was really enjoyable.
And
I actually learned how to talk about certain things myself to people.
Yes.
Okay, in that situation. I didn't expect that. So it was actually great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's just opening the conversation. That's one of the things I was saying about the conference. It was just opening up conversations. And you would see people in the chat room saying, I didn't know that, or I didn't know about that, or I don't feel alone, or, it was just good to hear someone talking about it.
Right. So the only thing I'd like to say about the application, so that you get real specific, we're only going to keep this open for a week.
Okay.
So it'll go through next Friday.
Okay.
Right? And we won't start calling people back till Monday, even if we get something in over the weekend, okay?
Okay.
And it does have to be for a caregiver that's not a family caregiver. That has to be their...
A professional caregiver.
Has to be their paid employment. Mm-hmm. That we can verify that it's paid employment.
Right.
Or it can also be to an essential worker.
Okay.
Okay? Because of everything that's happened with the pandemic.
Exactly.
People have done that as well, using their car not only to get to work, but their car is their work.
Yeah.
So driving Instacart, DoorDash, those type of things. So we've actually opened that part of our program open to that as well. So it can be either of those, and in Hillsborough, Pinellas, or Pasco counties.
Okay.
Those are the only three counties that we work in. So they have to be living and working in one of those counties as well.
Fabulous, Susan. Thanks so much. It's so good to hear your voice.
It's great. It's great. I love what you do. I've always loved. We got started really partly because of you and what you did in the past. and your networking group. And that's
Professional Women in Power.
Exactly. And I met everybody. I had just started Wheels. I met so many people that are been board members, advisory board members, lifelong friends. So we keep, it's all about helping each other.
Yep.
Same thing with you, Christine, meeting through that. It's all about helping each other to help others.
Thank you, my friends. I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for making it for all of us.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day.
I'm going. Actually, I leave at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning to go to New York City to see my stepmother. And tomorrow night, we're going to Radio City to see Frankie Valli.
Oh, my gosh.
How brilliant.
How cool is that?
How cool is that?
All right, my friends. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Soon. Okay.
Thank you. Bye. And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yeah, I got to say, I love that Footbar Walker, and they gave a demonstration of it. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before at the conference, and people were like, oh my goodness, because it has a bar. First of all, it has another bar up here for me to hold on to, and then a bar that folds down on the bottom for me to stand on, so you can get up. and I'm not pulling you, and I'm not falling down.
And hurting under the arms. And, gosh, that's brilliant.
So, yeah, it's and I'm, you know, the football walker, all these inventions, all these things come out of somebody's story.
Out of necessity.
And it was out of their story, too. And it's a husband and wife, they used all their life savings to make this football walker. So we got to get that out there. So, yeah, that was great. And then we also talked yesterday again about the meal lifter. So the meal lifter is like a 5-inch platform for mostly people who have Parkinson's disease because it's hard for them to feed themselves because half the food goes all over them that they don't want to eat. So it brings it up this high. So on the table, you could just put your elbow and have dignity. It's all about dignity.
Yep.
And have dignity. So let's talk a little bit about more about your foundation because it don't come cheap.
No, that's true. Yeah, Voices of Hope for Aphasia, all of our programs, we don't require a fee. There's such a big financial impact, as you can imagine, especially having a stroke. Strokes are happening less overall, which is good. However, they are happening younger and younger. So people are getting strokes in the middle of their career and then are unable to return to work. So we've been offering our programs without requiring a fee, so anybody can attend regardless of their ability to pay. But we do depend on
donations
and the generosity of people to help us do what we do. And we have Pinellas Community Foundation is a big sponsor of ours as well. The majority comes from individual donors.
And you know what? If everybody that's listening to the show sends $10...
I'm good for the year. I can retire.
It would make a difference. It makes such a difference. One of my charities I love the most is Women with Purpose. Mm-hmm. And they help cancer patients with non-cancer needs.
Yeah.
And I just have them take $15 a month out of my checking account. Because we need to do this. You know, we go to networking luncheons.
Yep.
So don't get that extra soda. Just give $10 to the foundation.
Yeah, exactly. We've just wrapped up our Hearts of Hope campaign. It runs throughout the year, but just a reminder that our monthly donors really sustain us throughout the course of the year. It helps us not have to continuously ask for money, which is onerous on everybody's side.
Yeah, exactly.
But it allows us to continue to help more people, more families, more caregivers, more people with aphasia, especially during this time when there's so much more awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest hurdle has always been outreach. And thanks to the Bruce Willis announcement, it really opened some doors for us, but we need to continue to help. There's 23,000 people in Tampa Bay living with... Just in Tampa Bay.
And you know what the thing is, too? If you have a loved one and they passed away and they had aphasia, I'm not saying they passed away from aphasia, but they passed away and they had aphasia. So what if you just have everybody, instead of sending flowers or whatever, make a donation to your foundation? Little things like that. Hoping this conversation has opened up the eyes of some people just to even know what aphasia is.
Yeah. We're here in Tampa Bay, but I'm happy to take phone calls from anybody to help connect them to the resources that are available locally to them. And what I tell everybody is we're here for this. If you don't even know if it's aphasia, call and I can help. I can't do a diagnosis over the phone, certainly, but I can help connect with resources that can help with communication disorders.
I always say all the time, I'm so blessed to be in this Tampa Bay area because there's professionals on every corner that want to make a difference and that do the right thing.
Yeah.
And if I don't know the answer, I know somebody that does.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not the right fit for my community, I know a community you're right for or however that goes. And that's very important because you go to a lot of other states. I go to speak in other states and stuff. It's not the same. It's not the same. People are stepping on each other's toes and no. So it's fabulous being in this Tampa Bay community and what everybody does. But I didn't mean to cut you short before. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the play.
Sure. Well, I'm so grateful that you offered your time and your expertise and your knowledge to do the talk back after one of our performances. We invited the audience to stay because everybody is affected and touched by dementia, unfortunately, or any disorder that sort of starts to rob a person's personality.
Parkinson's,
all of it. Rob independence, rob sort of empowerment.
Yeah.
So it was, I think it was so powerful to have you talk about it.
But it was so powerful to see in that show because nobody wants a caregiver.
Exactly.
I don't want to have a caregiver.
Yep. I'm okay.
But they needed each other, which was lovely also. Because the person that had dementia can also offer bring something to the table too.
Absolutely, especially in that show. Yeah.
Yeah, which is really important to know because many times people judge a person with dementia or aphasia or Parkinson's that they don't know what's going on, that they can't speak, that they can't think. Yeah, they maybe they can't verbalize or maybe they can't answer you right away about something.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they can't.
Yeah. We're all adults. We all bring something to the table, and we all have experiences and knowledge from our lives at any point. And, you know, maybe today is not the day that I can articulate it, but ask me tomorrow because I might be having a good day. Or
And please come back tomorrow.
And please come back tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely.
Please come back tomorrow.
Please come back tomorrow.
Because you know how people just go away.
Yep.
Because I don't know how to, I don't know about that dementia. I don't know about that stuff. And first of all, it might be contagious, you know, which is the silliest thing. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. So we as caregivers and family members have to educate the people that surround us on how they can continue to help us.
Yeah. And some, you know, just let me know how I can help. Let me know what you need. Just being there oftentimes is enough.
Yeah.
Just show up.
Well, I'll tell you, there was a fabulous segment on the conference. It's a new app. It's called Circle Of. Circle O-F, one word. So it's a free app for caregivers. And you can go on there, and first you can build, let's say, a circle of your immediate family members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now mom's medication changed, mom fell down, mom's having a great day, whatever it is. I can post that on that. My family members can hear because, you know, I'm going to get crap that you didn't tell me that they changed mom's meds. Or tonight, I really don't want to call my sister and find out what I'm doing wrong kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you can also send another circle up, friends, family, coworkers, and you can go on there and post things that you could need help with. So you're not directly asking.
Yeah.
And then your friends could go on and go,
I can do this one.
Mow your lawn. I'll be there Tuesday at 2.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Because it's easier for the caregiver to ask.
Yeah.
And many people say when they saw the list of the stuff that the caregiver does, they didn't even realize how much they do and how they could help them.
Right.
And they want to help them.
Yeah.
They really do.
It's almost a gift to allow somebody to help, but it is hard to ask for the help.
It's very hard to ask. I've repeated this story before. I told it at the conference. After my mom passed away, I was in the supermarket one day and I met a woman I know. And she said, how you doing, Linda? And I said, I'm doing okay. And she said, I'm sick of hearing that from you. She said, I have to tell you, when you took care of your mother, you stole my joy. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. I said, what? She said, I could see you swimming in quicksand, and every time I asked to help you, you said, no, I'm okay. And you know what? You never gave me the opportunity to get to know your mom.
Yeah.
So think about that. You know, I'm sure intentionally as a caregiver, you're not trying to hurt your friend's feelings or anything, but they want to help you. And when they know they can, they will. So please, and it gives your loved one the opportunity to hang out with somebody else too, because as much as you think you're the bomb caregiver and only you can do it because it's your responsibility, I think many times your loved one is sitting there going, would you please go away for a little while?
Yeah, exactly. Can I see somebody else now?
Every time a caregiver goes for respite, they come back and their loved one is like, wow, you're nice. And you were like, I thought I was nice. Well, because you're trying so hard. You're trying to be so patient and you're trying to do it, and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just really hard.
It's hard.
So, yeah. And I'll tell you something else that's been very cool that's been coming up. So I'm finding in my support groups that maybe 50% of the people in the group are grieving because their loved one has passed and they just come back to the group.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to start in the next couple of months is a mentor program. So if your loved one passed away from Parkinson's and someone new comes in the group and their loved one has Parkinson's, she can be the mentor.
Nice.
They can talk during the week in between support groups.
Nice.
And it gives the caregiver who lost their loved one a purpose.
A purpose,
a new purpose, because you were taking care of them 24/7 or how much you were taking care of them. Now, like, what the heck do I do now?
Yeah, and all that knowledge that you gained, all that experience that you went through, to be able to give it to somebody else.
Yeah, those little tips and tricks that you're not going to find in the book. You don't have time to read the book, But somebody can just tell you, this worked for me. I love that.
Yeah.
I love when that happens. So, yeah. It'll be a good thing. It'll be a good thing.
That's a little bit about what we do in our family support groups, too. We sort of partner similar experiences.
Yeah.
So a family who's been living with aphasia for years and years and years and has dealt with, you know, applying for disability or navigating the waters of Medicare can then be partnered with somebody who's starting through that journey.
Okay. I want to one last time, I want to repeat this. So my friend has aphasia and I go visit them. How do I communicate with them?
That's not a short answer. But here's maybe three things that I can say. Have patience.
Yes.
Give them time and an opportunity to talk or to communicate in any way. Again, speech is not the only way. If they struggle talking, then adjust how you're communicating with them. First of all, slow down your speech also.
Right.
But then give them yes or no questions so that they can respond.
So it's simpler,
even
yes.
So they don't have to generate an entire sentence.
Oh, yeah, I could kick myself in the behind. I wanted to bring this to show you, but so I'll just have to come see you.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me these boards recently, and they're like the wipe-off boards.
Yeah.
And it says, it's for people, it was first invented for people that were intubated during COVID, but it can be used for aphasia, whatever. And you can say, you know, I'm tired, I'm this, and you can not, but there was like also a section, I want to see my clergy, or I want to see my mother, or I want to see this person.
Yeah.
There was multiple different questions, or I'm just feeling happy, or I love you.
Yeah.
We'll have to hook up.
Yeah, yeah. Those are communication boards that speech therapists have developed.
That's fabulous. It's
so incredibly important to be able to give somebody a way to communicate.
Well, I think these people may be giving some of those things away. So you and I need to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's one cool thing about having the show and having the conferences, because people start contacting me with things I don't know about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then I go, ooh, something new. And people do come up with so many innovative things every day on how to, you know, help our loved ones in whatever their issue is.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
All right. Well, it was wonderful being here today. I'll be thinking of you guys when I go to New York tomorrow, but I will be here next Friday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day.
And even if you haven't talked to your mother for a while, give her a call. She's your mother. I'm sure she will appreciate it. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call.